Okay, Advent. Over the next four Sundays, we're going to look at some different aspects of Advent. It's a church tradition. It's not in the Bible. You won't find it in the Bible. So why does the church do it if we do Advent? Why do we do that? Well, basically, I would describe it that it's like a discipline or a practice to allow us, rather than wanting to jump right into the celebratory aspect of Christmas, we step back and we take our time over the course of the next 4 weeks in practicing anticipation, practicing waiting, practicing what it's all about to wait for the coming of the Messiah. Because we are in a generation right now, as Jared pointed out, of waiting for the second coming. We wait, and so we tell this, you know, that message gets passed on from generation to generation. And that's what was happening for the Jewish people. They would tell this, that, you know, this promise of God that the Messiah was going to come. And so over the next 4 weeks, I'm looking at, there's common themes that the churches remember on throughout Advent. And the common themes, of, as you heard today, is one is hope. Next week is peace. Then there will be joy, and then love. And those are the four common themes. Now, churches may shift those around a bit and do one before the other. It's just a church tradition. But allows us what I see as gifts that we get to look at, gifts of what the whole coming of the Messiah brings to us and brings to our world. So I want to first, we're going to be looking at the gift of hope. In Scripture, there's different words in the Old Testament and the New Testament that refers to hope. You read in the Psalms, probably we're all familiar with the Psalms, which talks about, you know, David will cry out, or he'll say, you know, put my hope in God. And you'll hear that throughout Scripture. And as well, you'll in the New Testament as well, you'll see this thing about putting hope in God, or that our hope is in Christ. You'll hear that. The point, what you'll always see in Scripture, is that hope is placed in a person. Hope is never placed in a circumstance or a situation. Now let me try to explain this a bit. When something happens in your life, and I'm talking more of something that's doesn't have to be catastrophic, but it's something that is either dark in your life, or it's something that has transpired that is just, you know, it could be a broken relationship, could be a diagnosis that you dreaded, you never wanted to be given. It could be, you know, something that's just gone sideways in your life. What we all tend to look for, which is natural, is we want to see something come along that sort of rescues us from that situation. That thing that we're looking for to rescue us out of that situation is that light. Let the candle right there, think of the flame as that something we are looking for to correct the situation or to make right what has gone sideways in your life. That thing that we are looking for, that is hope. That's what hope is. Something we don't yet have, but we long for. That's what we want. Now, the problem with when you put your hope in a situation that something's going to come along and correct it, the problem is sometimes it doesn't happen. Have you ever had anything go sideways in your life? You need it corrected, but it can't. It doesn't. That's what happens. It's what Proverbs says. Hope deferred. Deferred means held back from. Think of when you're thirsty, right? Think of when you've been really thirsty, right? And you know there's water that you'd need. And it's like someone taking the water you see on the table and just taking it away. You need it, but they've withheld it. It's been deferred. Water, hope has been deferred. When we put our hope in a situation and an outcome that it's something's going to turn out properly, it can be, we can experience a sick heart or heartbroken. But Proverbs says, and it's true, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. So you can think of those times when something has gone sideways in your life, you need something to correct it, and something comes along and corrects it. That is like hope fulfilled, right? But what we don't want to do though is place our hope in, oh my gosh. Excuse me. What we don't want to do, though, guys, is place our hope in having situations, turn out right, because they don't always. And understand, too, here's something else as well, I think, and please correct me for those who have experienced this. People who suffer depression, from what I understand, from the reading I've done, it's like the candle's gone out. Do what they might, they can't get it lit again. That's a whole nother issue. But that's what Proverbs talks about when it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. That's why hope is so important. That's why you'll always read in Scripture about the hope needs to be in a person, not in how a circumstance or a situation unfolds. You don't want to put your hope there because things will crash. You will have that time where the light goes out. I want you to think of Jesus now. Because I believe Jesus gives us the example, the perfect example of how to live as a human being and live with hope in your life. He had hope in his life. Now here's a question for you. What did Jesus put his hope in? His what? His Father? What do you mean by that? Yeah, no, I know that. But what do you mean by that? Expound on that. You said it. Prayed to him. Did what he told him, okay. So I'll ask a question. Why? Who he was, okay. Did I see another hand up somewhere? No? Okay. Yeah, Joe. Yes. Anyone else? Quickly. Yeah. His hope was in his Father. Okay, it was in his Father. Remember when Jesus was baptized? John baptized him. What happened right after the baptism? Right, exactly. This is what it says in Mark's Gospel. You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. His hope, what he drew from, was his Father. That's what filled him. That's what held him. That's what secured him. That's what sustained him. It wasn't in how situations were going to turn out. He never put his hope. In fact, if I have the right gospel, I think it's Matthew's gospel, and I think it's actually John's gospel. The end of John chapter 2. Where John says that people started to put their trust in him, but he never entrusted himself to people. It doesn't mean he didn't trust people. Well, it does actually. He didn't put his trust, his hope in people. Why? Because he knew what he says. The gospel says he knows what's in the hearts of humanity. And so he didn't put his hope there. His hope was always in his Father, and that sustained him through. You think of what Jesus experienced in his life. Rejection. Right? Heartache. It was the hope of his Father, of the love of his Father that was able to, that caused, that was made Jesus able to wash the feet of the very person who was his close friend. Not just sort of close, but it was a close friend, Judas, wash his feet. It was that hope that sustained him through when he was, you know, went through that kangaroo court and was tried and found guilty and was condemned to be executed. That hope of his, that love of his Father sustained him. That's what sustained him. And when he went to the cross and he died, it was his love of his Father and his Father's love that sustained him. And what you'll read in Scripture is that that love sustained him through death. And in the end, it was that love with his, of his Father that raised him back to life. And one of the things the video points out is that it's the resurrection. Is that our hope isn't just, isn't in the sense of the resurrection that we too will be resurrected, but our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in the Father. That's where we place our hope, in that. That's what we have to. We have to go there over and over and over again. Now, on the flip side, that by Jesus' hope being in his Father, by him being sustained by the Father's love, Jesus himself was able to be hope to other people. Other people saw their hope in him. People who came to him who were, you know, possessed by a demon, or people who came to him who were, had a skin disease, or people who were lame or blind or whatever, broken relationships. They came to him, not because he was some miracle worker or some magician, but there was hope they found in him. That's why the poor went to him, the outcast. That's why Zacchaeus wanted to look for him. Why? Because there was hope. There was hope. Jesus was hope to people. He was hope to them. If you have exchanged your life for Jesus' life, to follow him, to be his disciple, you can bring that hope to people. Christine talked about that. In fact, she was almost doing my message, right? It was like, we're done. It was perfect. But helping the people who are experiencing, you know, the light gone out, light, hope being withheld from them, reaching out to people and offering light, makes a world of difference in their lives. What's going on in Urban Hope makes a world of difference in people's lives. What Patrick and Laura and their team do on Monday nights up in Preston, it makes a world of difference in their lives. It's just hope being given. And you know what yourself what it's like, that when your life has gone sideways and someone offers you something, it brings life. Perfect picture of hope is found in Matthew. Jesus tells a parable of the sheep and the goats. Remember that one? You know, sheep is on his right and the goats are on his left. And he says to the sheep, you know, come in because you are so blessed because. And he goes on and he says these words, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. That is tangible hope for people. Every situation that Jesus is describing there is hope deferred. And Jesus is saying, every time you do that to people where hope has been deferred, you do it to me. We can offer hope. We can offer hope to people. My question for you today, and I'll leave you with this. We're going to walk through. We're actually going to do what I would call body ministry. My question is this. Is there an incident or a situation in your own life where you had put hope in a positive outcome that never came to be? I want you to think back over your life. Was there a time, a situation, or a circumstance, something that happened where you had put your hope in a positive outcome that never came to fruition? Was there a time in your life when something went sideways in your life? And you had hoped and prayed for an answer with a specific image in your mind. Because when we pray for God, please answer my prayer, we do have an image in our head of what that answer looks like. There is something very specific. But have you ever had that where something was going sideways in your life and you prayed, God, can you just, you know, heal this or make this better or fix this, whatever the prayer is, and it doesn't get answered? Doesn't happen. In that situation, in that circumstance, did you experience hope deferred? Hope held back? Hope sort of not yet. Did you experience that? What do we want to invite you today to do? Take that, because what's happened is we've put hope in that situation turning out a certain way. Whereas what we need to do, what Scripture calls us to do, what Christ calls us to do, is not to put our hope there, but to put our hope in Him, to transfer it over to here. Make Him our hope. And what I want us to do, I want to walk us through an exercise right now. And it's that. I've done this before. Does this ring a bell to anybody? Welcoming prayer? Well, it's going to ring a bell. Yeah, if you could just hand those out, I'll take one. Thanks, Jared. Thanks, April. This is for you just to tuck away. You can tuck it away. You know, we used to think, you know, you used to can get inserts and tuck away in your Bible, but so many people now have digital Bibles that it's hard to tuck that away. But you can put it someplace where you can use at some point. And I want to walk us through this. One of the things that we have a tendency to do is to allow the feelings we feel to be legitimate. Did you know your feelings are legitimate? Did you know what you feel is legitimate? Someone can't come along and say, you shouldn't feel that way. It doesn't work. Right? Now, I've been told that. You shouldn't feel that way. No, acknowledging how I feel is the first step in being healed. And so you can't dismiss your feeling. You don't want to dismiss your feelings. But feelings are just feelings. They're legitimate. You put me on a high roof and I feel petrified And you come up to me and say, you shouldn't feel that. Sorry. Petrified. That's the feeling. It's a legitimate feeling. The welcoming prayer, what it does is it's basically acknowledging our feelings and then releasing that. So I'm going to walk us through. So I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and begin to speak. Father, we just ask you to come right now. And Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts. As we walk through this exercise, Lord, we know you are present, even in the things that are written out. Lord, you are present with us. And so we thank you and we ask you, Lord, to come and set us free, Lord. Lord, help, Lord, where hope has been deferred, we pray, Lord, we just take that situation or that incident or that thing that has happened, and that will shift our hope over to you for that situation. So, Lord, we ask you to come right now. So the first thing we do is just to be present, to make yourself present to the... I want you to think of that situation, first of all. Whatever that situation is in your life that went sideways, it didn't turn out the way you had hoped it would. That situation where hope was deferred, I want you to think of that situation and allow the feelings. What is the feeling that's present there in that? And then let yourself become immersed in it. Identify it. Don't run from it. Don't fight it. Just feel what it's like to be experiencing it. My tendency is to numb it, just ignore it. That's my tendency. But whatever your tendency is, just let that feeling be there. Just let it be there. Do you feel something emotionally? Do you feel something physically? Just observe it. Father, we just ask you to help us who are struggling right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Now we move to the next part of welcoming. And you have to remember, you can only move forward if you accept where you presently are with this situation. What you're presently feeling. And accepting that. And you affirm, you actually, I know this sounds weird, but you affirm the rightness of where you are by welcoming the feeling. You're not welcoming the situation. You're not if it's a disease you're struggling with, you're not welcoming that. But you are welcoming that emotion. Why? Because it's telling you something. It's why. It's like a light on your dashboard. It's telling you something. The light on the dashboard isn't bad. It's telling you something. And so we welcome it. And you do that literally by, if it's fear, welcome the fear. And it's not because you want, but you welcome the recognition that that's there, that you're experiencing, that it's real. So don't resist. This is reality for you. This is where you're at. And then we move to the final one of letting go. And what I want you to do right now, it's a very simple letting go. And it's there in your handout. Jesus, I give you my whatever that is. And what I want you to recognize is in that statement of Jesus, I give you my, what you are doing
as you are saying, by saying Jesus, just saying that word, saying his name, you are saying, you're my hope. You're my hope. You're my hope. And you're saying, Jesus, I give you my fear, or give you my anger, or give you my disappointment, or give you my broken heart, or give you whatever that is, you give that to him. He becomes your hope. And then there's just four little statements in that whole. I can have someone from the ministry team just come around. Just stand with them. Thank you. And the four statements: Jesus, I let go of my desire for security and survival. Jesus, I let go of my desire for esteem and affection. Jesus, I let go of my desire for power and control. Jesus, I let go of my desire to change the situation. And then you ask God for the grace to be open to what he's saying. And then when you're ready, surrender. And whatever statement you read that fits your situation, you just read out, I surrender. Could be my desire for security and survival. Or I surrender my desire for esteem and affection. And or whatever. And so, Father, we just ask you to come right now. In your love, in your power, and Lord, the thing is, you already knew these feelings that were there. You already knew them. You knew they were there. It's just, Lord, I hadn't acknowledged it. I had stuffed it. I had run from it. I had denied it. But Lord, I know I am safe with you. And so, Father, I put now my hope in you. Trust you. I surrender all to you, Father. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. So I just want you to take the next few minutes of staying with that. It can be a minute. Next few minutes. Paul writes, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus becomes our hope. We're going to close off the service right now, which just means I'm going to stop speaking. If ministry team could make yourselves available at the front, just doesn't have to be all the ministry team, just two or three people. And for those who would like prayer, you may come to the front and ask for prayer. But if you want to just sit as well, sit with us and ask the whole, and just invite, just allow the Father to come and love you. Allow the Father to come and bring his healing, because his love is healing. His love does heal. It brings healing.